Well, good morning and a Christian greeting to each one. Good to be here with you today in this place and worship with you. Enjoy the service so far. For announcements, we have this Wednesday at 7 to continue our business sessions. Have we figured out which place we're meeting at yet? Okay, so I think we had kind of switched it to went back to Wednesday with Bradley's schedule now. So plan for that at 7 somewhere. Is there anything else that needs to be announced? Okay, we have this room till 1:30 here today. It's going to be a little bit of a busyness to get out of here in time, I guess. Entitled the message this morning, It Is Time. It Is Time. And I had I listened to an interesting talk this week that took my mind towards this, the idea of time. The talk was given on time zone in the world, time zone, kind of the history of that. It's not as old of a concept as one might think, really. Coincides with the age of travel and people's ability to move rapidly or semi-rapidly, I guess, around the world through ships and whatnot. And kind of the English there in England kind of led out in the development of the time zones because of their Royal Navy and their ability to move around the world. So they had to have this, they had a huge empire. It had to have some structured way of coordinating with one another. So when it came time for the rest of the world to kind of get on board with that, they developed this whole thing of time zones and split it up. And so there's some very interesting things that I learned in this talk on time zones. One of them was, as you divide up the world, or as you think about it, how many time zones do you think there are? Maybe somebody knows. Well, intuitively, how many would you think there would be?
24.
Okay. According to this guy, it's 40. 40 time zones. And I thought, now why on earth would you need 40 different time zones? And I think the issue is people. That's why you need 40. And their desires and their pushing and shoving, and they're wanting to make sure that their country matters. And so because of that, you got all kinds of interesting things. And then with this whole thing comes the international dateline out here in the Pacific Ocean. And you know how it is, anyone that has traveled west from the U.S., you know, there comes a time you wake up the next day if you go to Japan. You know, see, and when you come this way, you lose a day. And though it's only a few hours, you gained a whole day when you go over there. And there is a group of islands, two islands, called the Diomede Islands, between Alaska and Russia. The islands are not very far apart, just really close to, but one is owned by Russia and is on the west side of the international dateline, and the other one is owned by the United States and is on the east side of the international dateline. And their unofficial names are Yesterday Island and Tomorrow Island. That's it. Their names. Because of this international dateline and how they have it split. Another interesting thing is the time zones of the people, all the research stations and whatnot down in Antarctica. So here you are. Think about the way longitude is set up as it gets towards the north and south poles. It really starts to curve in. So what do you do? What time is it in Antarctica? And it's, you know, the days are 12 hours long and for the whole thing. And so they have to, these research stations have to do some kind of, kind of the official one is New Zealand's time zone because it's the closest. But basically the research stations claim the time of whatever country they're from. That's how they decide what time it is for them. thought that was kind of key. China, a big country, 5,000 kilometers or miles wide. I can't quite remember. How many time zones would you guess is in the country of China? Just one, the whole country. And it gets messy. They have like a black market for time zones almost as locals interact around the daylight. So, but the official time zone for China is all one. And so that makes a kind of messiness for their neighbors who, like Nepal and India and Russia and others that are close to China, they have to, if they are trying to follow the time zone of the world, if you will, universal standard time based off of the observatory in Greenwich, England. That's where time zero is. And why? Because at the time when they set this all up, their national observatory was in this little town of Greenwich, England, and so they, okay, we're ground zero from time, and all time starts from us. And so if the rest of the world is trying to interact with that, and yet China, a huge, wide country, is one time zone, and so if you cross from a neighboring country towards the west end of China, you might be on a completely different time zone suddenly than you know, several time zones over the neighbor that's right beside you. So it can really be messy. And through some of those things is how you ended up with another thing that was very interesting to me. There are time zones, several time zones, that are set up on 15-minute increments and half-hour increments, several of them. They don't move a whole hour. They just move 4 minutes or 15 minutes. And there's this one little one for a Western nation that doesn't seem to be quite sensible in Australia. They have some, see if I can remember how this is. The south half of the country, I think, has two different time zones. The north half is maybe one time zone. I could be have, it's something like that. But down on the south coast, because of that, there's two main time zones that are 3 hours apart, and a tiny little area that right in between. And so it's 8 o'clock on one side, 3 hours later, 11 o'clock, and so they're at 9:30. It's for their time. So they split it all up like this, this idea of time. And time is a tremendously important to us. There's just so many things in the Bible, in the Old and New Testaments about time. I thought I would just read that when God set that up from Genesis 1, verses 14 to 16, it says this: God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And so when he set this up, it was this revolving of the moon around the earth and the sun and all that thing. The whole thing was set up to divide time so we could keep track, so humanity could keep track of their time and what was happening. So this idea of time was God's idea. He knew, as he set up humanity, set up this earth for a time. This would be important to people. How do we do this? And we see maybe the progression of people's interaction with time through sundials, and you know, after a while, the more and more and more precise measurements of time and how it actually matters how precise you are. Eventually, I think now there's the atomic clock, something that all clocks in the world are based off of. The atomic clock is the exactness of time, and that exacting measurement of time is terribly important when it comes to things like the global positioning system, which you may or may not have used to find your way to the library this morning. It's all this precise measurement of time is how that whole system is able to work. Just some basic things about time. Time has constant movement. Thought about setting my phone up here with the grandfather clock ticking, which I started it there at the moment. And started to tick. Then it's like, what's that? What is this? What is this? Well, it was just real, you know, with that, you know, it just makes it so real. And it keeps going. And we can hear it. You know, this thing is streaming past. It's time. And what are we gonna do with it? You know, we feel it. Time is something that you can spend. You did something with your time. It's a little bit like money. You know, last night we went out for dinner. Well, we traded how many bales of hay for that dinner that we traded last night? So we spent that, we used that. And here time is kind of the same way. So we can waste it on what we have a certain amount of time that we can do. God set this up. But you know, this is going whether I'm playing that or not. It's just relentless. Just you can't stop it. We all have the same amount. We all, what are we doing with this time? And God has quite a lot to say about time. And so this is the one piece, constantly. We are racing towards eternity for ourselves, for humanity. This is relentlessly. While you sleep, while you play, while you work, this is coming to an end. It has a beginning and an end. Time does. And we'll look at that a little bit. Often we measure things. Okay, 1:30, we've got to be out. So time has beginnings and ends. Another interesting thing about time is we are humans and we press into our spiritual side. We have a past, we have a present, and we have a future. And so there's just different things that makes can bring to our attention as we meditate on it. We think about the past. This is time that is gone. It was yesterday. What did we do with the day? Yesterday with its mistakes, with its things we wish we could have done better, with its victories. God, I did that. That was a meaningful experience, what I did yesterday. And so we think back to the past, and we can think about the lessons learned and the stories of the others and their examples. And we go back to the stories of the Bible often. Okay, what can we learn from this past? And then we have the present. Here we are today. And the things that we learned, the things that we experienced in the past, and the values that we developed, and the things that we were taught, is, are we allowing that past of ours to dictate today what we ought to do today? Here's our present. This is a chance, these few moments to talk. Do something with this present, and then we have the future. We think of our aspirations and our bucket lists and the things that we wish we could get done and we hope to do and the things we know we ought to do for the future. I need to do these things for the future. So this, all of these, past, present, and future, are part of our interaction with time that God set up. It is the concept time is by which we record and quantify our actions and we can gauge our progress. What did we do? Am I a person who has used my time wisely? Well, that's the amount of time. So I've got less ahead of me than I've had behind me. You, with the time, was I worthy of it? Here it is. Constant. There comes a sense of desperation is too strong. Let's do something. Let's get something done with this time because it is soon going to be over. All right, then I would like to go to various verses in the Bible and just look at what Jesus and others had to say about our use of time. The first idea I have here, it is time to work. It's time to work. John 9, verse 4, it says, and this is the words of Jesus, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. So those were the directive of Jesus. It is, the night is coming. And there we get that hurry feeling. Work while you can. Let's do what we can while we can. And, you know, here we are in the middle of raising our families, and it can feel like a lot going on. Endless struggle, an endless project you got. But it's just for a time. You only have a certain amount of time, so work while you have the time. Soon the children will be gone, and what will we be glad we did? Work the works of him that sent me. So Jesus has a work for us to do as we step into his will. Let's work the works of him that sent me. Also in Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, it says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it tells us to redeem the time. Make sure that these seconds were used in a worthy manner. It's time to work. All right, another one I have now. It's time to watch. Matthew 24, 37 to 44. You want to turn to that, Matthew 24, and I'm going to start at verse 37, 3 through 44. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord comes. But know this, that if the good man of the house would know in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think the Son of Man cometh. Another place, or maybe other places in the Bible, it talks about the thief in the night, when Jesus is going to come back. And it'll be something that you did not expect. You know, a while ago, some of the boys and Mar and I went out and cut up a tree that had fallen down in the field. And yesterday I went out there, it was the day before, I can't remember, I went out there to retrieve something. And here, all the wood that we had cut up and stacked nicely, it was just gone. Somebody in the night, I could just see the tracks where they had hauled it out to the road through the ditch. And think about it. I was probably peacefully sleeping at the time. I don't know, 2:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning, or I'm not sure when it was, but there was a time when I was asleep and those thieves were going through the ditch just as fast as they could with my wood. Because that's a little bit the reality of Jesus coming back. He said, it will be a time when you think not, and we are to watch and be ready. So use this time with always the realization that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. Wow, Jesus is coming. And so that tempers our activities, tempers our the things that we do. Will this activity be important in light of Jesus might come back today? And how would I want my response to be, the words that I say? Prepare, be ready, Jesus is coming. Very closely associated with that idea of watching, it is time to prepare. Romans 13, 11 tells us, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The Bible in different places talks about apathy and spiritually sleeping and not paying attention and not taking it very seriously. Here it tells us that it's high time to get your salvation around. Figure this out. Make sure you're ready, because Jesus is coming. Time to prepare. I thought, too, that I would read the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. If you want to turn to that, I'm going to read verses 1 to 13. It says this, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with them. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And then they were ready, went in with him to the marriage. The door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. The answer said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man came. So it is time to prepare, is what we can learn from this. And maybe this especially is a warning to those of us that have been Christians for a while, who have grown, who have spent time with God, who have made it a very vital part of our lives and our existence, this will of God is possible to maybe, and we see that in this parable of the virgins, where they were there all together. They were all virgins. They all had lamps. They were all had fire. Once upon a time, their lamp was burning. And yet, somehow, through the cares of life, the illustration is that they lost their way. This thing went out. They were no longer what they ought to be. And when the bridegroom came back, they just weren't ready. They weren't prepared. They had it all there. They were at the right place. And they had so much of the structure of what it needed to be saved, that the door came and the door was shut. What a sad day. And so the message for us today, are we taking the time to be prepared? Keeping it. Okay, another one I have here is it's time to fear. I take this from 1 Peter 1:16 to 17. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. If you call on the Father, whom without respect of person, judge according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And another verse that I think of is the one that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And what I see in this is our attitude towards our salvation. Do we approach our faith with a self-confidence, self-assurance? I got this. We got this figured out. I know what I'm talking about. I don't have much to worry about here. Or certainly the lackadaisical way a lot of religiosity approaches their interaction with the commands of Christ, where it'll be all right whether I obey him or not. Rather, the New Testament would teach us to examine ourselves, to live with the realization, I could, through choices of my own, take steps away from God, find myself no longer saved. And so there is a God who is coming to judge the quick and the dead. We ought to be ready. We ought to live with fear. And I don't think the fear there is a scare or a... it's not fear that comes from a capricious and an overbearing and a God who is just ready and looking for ways to punish his people. Not at all. Rather, there's a God who means what he says and says what he means. He has given us lots of opportunity to step in his will. He wants us to be spiritually successful and has a path for us to do that. Fear him who is able to cast both soul and body into hell. That's what we have to do. All right, another one I have here is time to remember. Luke 16:25-26. This is a message from beyond the grave, if you will. But Abraham said, the story of Abraham and Lazarus. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, and now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And so here, in a very real way, from beyond the grave, these men were dealing with their memories. What have I done? What have I done? And you think about that as you stand before God and give an account for your conduct. What have I done? And so here we are in time, yet this side of the grave, and we have the opportunity to remember. What we have done. Remember what God asked of us. Remember our first love. Remember the things that we have been taught. Remember the stories. And just take the time to pause and think about through memory. And it's a tremendous gift, our memories, that we can look back and say, you know, I remember those things where God was close and I can use that to anchor me. Or I remember where I had messed up and need to go back and this side of the grave make things right. John 16:4 is another one. Said, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you remember what I told you of them. Excuse me. You remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And so Jesus was saying, remember my words. Remember what I told you. That's another thing that we have an opportunity to do here in the time. Malachi 3, verse 16. Says, they that feared the Lord. It's this kind of people. They that fear the Lord do these kinds of things. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord that thought upon his name. And that here these people thought about his demands and his plan, his salvation. And they talked to each other about it. They made it an important part of their life. And they wrote a book for him, for them that fear the Lord. It's like that. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We have come together to remember the words of Christ, remember what he told us, and to think about his things, and to lift up that whole, our whole spiritual experience in light of time. Here we are, time. And what did our neighbors today in the city do with their time? And could we draw them somehow to a use of time that fears the Lord? Remember our victories. Remember the story of God's people. Okay, I have down here now some words from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you'd want to turn to that, I want to just take a few different things from this. So, I want to read Ecclesiastes 3, 11 to 13. It says, and he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the works that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And so it's an interesting idea here that there's a time to live and a time to die. A time to live is the point I have here. Time to live. And We know of many different ones that I can think of, if you want to call a doomsday cult or whatever you would call it, where someone, some prophet, picks a date. Jesus is coming back on such and such a date. And so they narrow their activities to this intersection of what the prophet has told them about when Jesus is coming back. Maybe they sell their property. Maybe they just waste their time getting together, and all of it comes down to Jesus coming back on a certain date. And only, well, someone once said that when a prophet makes a prophecy like that, one thing we can be pretty sure of, that's probably not when Jesus is coming back, because he said no man knoweth but the Father when that's going to be. The point I would like to make here is we are to live. Occupy till I come. Here we are. We don't have to spend all of our time thinking about Jesus' return and the fact that he's going to be here soon. But rather, we need to live. We have duties to do. We have life to enjoy in this passage that I just read. And that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So the ability to have a life, to have a family, to have this opportunity to live. Here, you have a life God gave you. And so you have this chance to live with all of its enjoyable things, the food that you can eat, the fish that you can go try to catch, the creation that God made, all of these things God made for our enjoyment. There's a sense in that it's a time to live. And so let's live. Here we are. Let's live for God and let's use this opportunity. You know, I would be sad. I never had a chance at life, never had a chance to enjoy my youth, my childhood, and the things that I remember, and my marriage, and all of the things that I have enjoyed. This has been you know, we've had hard times, but it's been an enjoyable thing, this life that God gave me that I have to live, and I want to live it for Him. So when you just make that smooth transition of a life that honors God from this life into the next. A time to live. Here we are. Live for God's honor in this time. And then Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2. To everything there's a season, to every time a purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to die. And we've talked about that in several places already. But just that confidence. The old must die, the young can die. Is that how it goes? Or did I have that back? But there's coming an appointment with death, a time to die. Are we prepared? Are we ready to die? There is a time at the end of time when God is coming back. I have the verse here in Revelation 10, verse 6, and it talks about this angel. I'm just going to read one verse. It says, "And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." So here you have the angel coming down and said, this is the end of time. It's over. The earth is going to burn up, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know how all that's going to be. But the point is, there was a time when God said, let there be light. And here are the lights that we then began to divide all of time by. There is coming a time at the end, and He's going to say it is the end. Time as we know it will stop. And then we will be ushered into eternity. The soul never dies. There is not the time to. What are we doing with our time? You know, a friend of mine, they used to sit in an office with all the time. He used to tell me, and he was somewhat older than me. He used to tell me on his, and I think it was really on his shelf at home. I don't know if it was his dresser in his bedroom or something. This jar of marbles. It's a jar of marbles, and he had at one point taken and counted out how many Saturdays he had left until he turned 70. 70 years and 10. That's all he was promised. And so he had counted out the marbles to when he turned 70. This is a reminder that today, Saturday, one more marble. That's all the time that I've got left. And do we look? And I appreciated his just the time consciousness of that practical exercise that he was going to do. I don't know how many marbles you got. Do your 7. 70. 70 and 10. I don't know what it is for you, but you know, I asked him the other day, said, how many marbles you got? We haven't talked about it for a couple of years. And he was gonna go home and figure out how many marbles he had left. But the point being, it's past. It's time. We just have a little bit of it. It's not worth it. Do what God would have us to do with our. Today, it is time to do all these things.